This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
The perspective that I want to bring is essentially about art. I'm always reminded that when driving to Long Island one day with my friend Salvatore Scarpita, the windshield started fogging up, and he said, "My windshield is fogging up. We must be in art." Anyways, before letting you know what my plan is, I'm going to talk a little bit about my perception of Arakawa and Madeline's work. So when I look at one of his spaces, very colorful, very, I find it beautiful, creative, open, say as opposed to this space, which reminds me of prison in reality, these walls are not something I could add as a skin to my own being. When I open that space, it seems to me, well, I immediately recall Elaine Scarry, who, you know, The Body in Pain, who made basically the proposition that the imagination and pain are oppositions. The imagination realizes itself through an object, or through a structure, or through a movement, as we saw last night, whereas pain has no object. So I always think of those two things in opposition when I look at art, because art, if it's an expression, it's not simply a creative expression, it goes further, and it's an expression of the imagination, as this whole concept is, then that's the first way that I can feel that we're moving away from something to something, I would say, better. But the other part of this is, of course, the death part. And I want to get to, you know, I've reached the point where I've been thinking about death for now probably 40 years, off and on. And actually, if I go back to my 50s, which is 25 years ago, I finished my museum career for one reason or another, mainly because I had been censored by the American Museum Directors Association, an association that controls most jobs, or nearly all jobs except those jobs in Texas where I eventually ended up, you know, but was formerly, my career was ended because I had introduced television into the museum. I had, as they said, taken down the permanent collection and replaced it with wires and television sets. In any case, so here I was at the end of, and so I took a job in Texas that ended. Again, I was a little far out for them, and I had to think of what next to do, and I'll go through this very quickly, but the war in Central America was on, and I was very conscious of it, as I've been conscious since World War II, off and on, about the fact that we think about our own deaths, but as a country, we don't mind killing literally millions of people. What's the number? 20 million? And in ways that are increasingly worse, like World War I, 10% of the casualties were civilians. The Iraq War, 90% of the casualties are civilians. And that issue disturbs me, and I see it in relationship to Arakawa's work, because I think it's moving us towards considering life primarily as opposed to death, in the way that Ellen Scarry put these oppositions. Now, life does have its objects, so I would put that out. And also, just from my own experience during that period, I decided that, well, here I was 50 years old. Could I really remake myself into that tough, fast-moving 18-year-old again? And it seemed possible. It took a lot of effort, getting up early in the morning, 5 years of kung fu, 5 hours a day, one way or the other, and watching my diet and the rest of it. And the reason I bring this up is, one reason is that let me finish it. Kung fu, in order to do what I wanted to do, because I had decided to create a foundation where I could take antibiotics to Central America, because that was the desperate need down there, which meant you had to do it yourself, and you had to throw it, you had to drive it down there, which meant driving through 10 battle areas and 3 wars, finally to get to Managua, where you had a moment of respite with the Sandinistas. So I created a foundation, got the antibiotics, and then started the first of a succession of nearly 20 trips to drop off the thing, mainly at Catholic infirmaries. But one of the things I was dealing with was very clear to me, was my own fear every time I took the trip, because there was always, you never knew what was happening, and there was always the possibility that you wouldn't make it. So then I decided, well, maybe it was fear, and fundamentally fear from, actually, fear that went all the way back to your youth, that actually defined this idea of death for you. So, you know, fear of falling. So this brings up Arakawa again, because in a sense, when he talks about balance, it eliminates a fear. So part of what I see in this architecture is a context where you actually forget about, do away with the idea of death, and you begin to, by improving your body and getting your strength together and doing all of the things that you would do. You know, the color, I mean, that's the skin that you can wear. I mean, the color, when I think of the dark places I've lived, when I think of the dark, just the places that had no character whatsoever, that were not creative or imaginative in the sense of his, I feel like, boy, did I lose a lot of time. I needed an Arakawa environment from the beginning. I wouldn't have had to go through all the pain of that kung fu. Anyways, so that's... And the bigger question for me is always, what can we do in this country? What I've been trying to do through the museum is to make people conscious of the fact that we are creating a disaster in the world, not only on an ecological level, but also by just killing people. I mean, what I saw in Central America, what I've seen in Colombia recently, what I've seen in Palestine, what I've seen in Iraq, what I've seen around the world, what I saw earlier in Algeria, is exactly that. Just killing people like that, destroying lives like that, with very little repercussion. I think it was brought up earlier, very little statement on our, you know, we listen to Chomsky and others, but there are very few people that are actually dealing with the broader virtue of how we bring this population to bear on our national shame. And again, I think it's that's why the next step in this, before I run off to the airplane, it would be to say, my plan is to, I have two museums in Texas. So one is a working class museum, and it was actually my dream to create a museum that would appeal to, because Houston, after all, is a working class city, appeal to people at a working class level. And it took a while, but I finally have a museum that the director of whom just came from the oil fields and so on. They know how to make anything. I thought, well, that's a resource, and it is a wonderful resource, because anything we need made, we can call out to that class, and they know how to put things together. Second thing, I have the second museum, which I'm willing to sacrifice, really. I think we should begin as a kind of information center, so, you know, all of your great ideas and all of our ideas and all of our Arakawa's ideas can come together so we can inform that community and the state. And by the way, Houston, Texas, Obama blue. It's oil rich, and it has a huge medical center. It's 670 or maybe 680 square miles. It's a huge context with about 25 to 30,000 people coming in every month. So it's growing extraordinarily fast, and it has a good economy. You can still get a job. You can still quit a job in Houston, which is even better, and find another one. Right. But so it struck me that Houston would be a great place to create a community. So my thinking would be to create an information area or an information lab or whatever where we could communicate the ideas and get people from Rice and other people that we have everyday connection with. And the second thing would be to knock down that museum and put up an Arakawa building. Thank you.